And good afternoon again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome back to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It has been a bitterly cold day for this Friday heading into the Christmas weekend. Again, travel is not easy, but at the same time, we've actually seen some sunshine in this below zero day. To find out exactly where we stand in terms of the winter storm, what we can expect here in the next day or two heading into Christmas, we're joined from our weatherology.com weather center by meteorologist Ray Miller. And Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. There's been some slight improvement. All of central Wisconsin now under a winter storm warning, replacing the blizzard warnings that were in effect overnight and in some cases into this morning. So that is a little bit of improvement. We still do have quite a few areas of blowing snow, and that continues through the afternoon and into tonight as well. So that remains a concern. With the daylight hours, the reduced visibility is not quite as bad. And as we talked about a little bit yesterday, the further we go into this event, the snow starts to get compacted a little bit, and even with the strong winds continuing, it can't blow around quite as much. So gradually improving conditions this afternoon and into tonight. Still not great, though. Well, a high temperature of zero this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest still as high as 45 miles an hour. Tonight, a low of one below with winds out of the northwest of 45 miles an hour, giving us wind chills around 20 below. Saturday, few areas of blowing snow, not quite as bad as it has been, a high temperature of 4 degrees. Sunday, Christmas Day, looking decent. Sunshine, still cold though, high of 8 degrees. Monday, sunny with a high of 14. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, I think bottom line is you still have to worry a bit with those wind chills. We talked about it yesterday in terms of the seriousness. If you do get into any car difficulties on your travels, to be number one, ultimately majorly prepared, but at the same time, you just don't want to get into those situations. If you have the opportunity, it looks like things are going to get a little bit better here in the next day or so.
Yeah, again, tonight and this afternoon and tonight still not looking great. I would say if you can avoid traveling this afternoon and tonight, do so. By the time we get to tomorrow, it's not going to be quite as bad. Still slow going for sure. But I don't think we're going to have quite as many areas that are impassable and as dangerous as what we have this afternoon and tonight. So by tomorrow, especially by about midday tomorrow, if you're trying to catch up and get to where you need to go for Christmas, I think travel will be relatively decent on Saturday. But again, still not great. You still want to allow yourself a ton of extra time.
Okay, Ray. Well, thank you for all the information you provided this week. Have yourself a great Christmas, and we'll talk again real soon.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now, still remains below zero here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. 3 degrees below zero and mostly cloudy. We saw some little bit of sunshine earlier, but it's got a little bit darker out there right now. 3 degrees below zero with those winds out of the west at 25 miles per hour, gusting as high as 32 miles per hour. So that wind chill factor is 28 below zero right now here in Wausau. The dew point is 11 below. Relative humidity of 68%. Barometer at 29.61 inches. And a visibility rather low. Again, 1.5 miles, a mile and a half. And I was out there earlier. I went to lunch. Some people are not driving with the sense of care and safety that they should. Bottom line, I was about to turn downtown and somebody plowed right through. They were at a stop sign. I did not have a stop sign. I was coming rather slowly because I know how quickly I can go with my vehicle. In snowy, slick conditions, I need to go rather slow with my car. That's just the way it is. I don't have the four-wheel drive truck that some people do, but this guy apparently thought, well, I got room to plow right in front of me. I mean, I was so annoyed by this guy. I wanted to honk. I did not honk. I decided not to honk. But the point being, you're going to get there 15 seconds earlier. Congratulations. There was nobody behind me. 15 seconds at the most. So great job saving that time. Again, it's not worth it to save a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it may be. Drive safely. Make sure that you, and just as importantly, the other people on the road get home safely to be able to celebrate the holidays with their family. So that's my editorial comment here for this Friday. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we are going to talk to the head boys basketball coach of the Wausau East Lumberjacks, Dan Garrett, coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WFCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, my plea has worked. Earlier in the show, I asked Fred Prane to finally, after nearly 2 years, resign from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Policy Board. Well, today, breaking news. Just in the last few minutes, Fred Prane has announced that he is resigning nearly 2 years after his term ended. Crane said his resignation will take effect 1 week from today on December 30th. I will have more on this breaking story. Fred Crane resigning finally nearly 2 years after his term ended. More coming up in just a little bit. But right now, going to talk to the head boys basketball coach of the Wausau East Lumberjacks, Dan Garrett. Jeff Gress and myself talked to the Lumberjack host on Wednesday night and started off by talking about exactly where this team is. It's a bit of a different team for the Lumberjacks this year. I mean, this is obviously a very much a different team for your, mm-hmm. for your squad. Now, last season, you had a lot of experience, a lot of size. Mm-hmm. This year, a little less experience, a little less size, but it looks like it's been a decent start for your team. You had a nice win on the road in the conference against Merrill last week. Ran into a bit of a buzzsaw that Marshfield is early this season, but generally, what's your feeling about the early part of the season?
I think we're playing well right now. Last night wasn't an indication of how well we're playing, but if you would have saw us Friday night, you would have said, they're playing really well. We defended Friday night, and we didn't defend very well last night. I'm kind of surprised with a little bit of our sophomores. They've been scoring at a really high rate right now. Jesse Nupgezik's had a really good start to the season. I'm averaging, I think, 17 a game right now. Jaden has done a good job as well. So has Charlie Cayley as sophomores to kind of lead us in scoring is not necessarily normal. And especially having that experienced team last year, I was able to rely on a lot of those seniors. And I knew what I was going to get from those guys. And when you're dependent on younger guys, it depends on the night, right, and what you're going to get. So I'm very happy with the start. I think we could easily have won a couple of those games that we lost early in the game in the year too. But happy with where we are.
And, Coach, how hard is it to transition? I mean, people that don't coach or just kind of watch say it's so easy, and you're switching up from having a
big... Are you saying it's not easy to coach? I mean, I've sit here, and it looks pretty darn easy for
I
said.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not easy. When you go through it, it's not an easy life. It's always rewarding. It's always fun, but I don't think it's easy. But my point being is,
you're out of the game, and now it's so hard.
Well, no, now I don't have to. I don't have to worry about it now.
Nobody's
holding me down. Before you had pressure. My question is, though, how hard is it to transition from one style to the next? Because, a definite huge post player, now you've got you're more probably guard strong with the guards that you have. And then to boot, you graduate guys that seem to log a lot of minutes, but then you still come back and you're still youthful with a lot of the guys you have. Yeah. You don't have a heavy upper class.
No, I'm one of those coaches that you know, I will tailor what I'm doing to the talent that I have. I don't try to fit them into the box that I want them to be in. So last year, we had 6'9", 6'5", 6'5", and we had to slow it down, for those guys. And we were a little bit successful with that. And I want to play fast-paced. That's how I want to coach. So this team this year is kind of my identity. We're able to put pressure on teams. We're able to pick up full court and cause some havoc there. It makes it interesting, right? When you graduate some guys and then you can play a different style, and then maybe you graduate those guys and you can kind of play another style. So it keeps it fresh too. So I wouldn't say it's difficult, but at times, this summer I was like, man, I don't know how we're going to score. looking at our roster, we haven't had issues scoring so far. It's been stopping people. So we're working towards being better there.
Yeah, well, you're talking.
I just had one other quick thing off the guys that you're talking about. How are you pleased with? I watch them, and what I've seen, either when I've gotten to go watch in person or through the computer, when you can click it on and get there. That's the best you can do that night. They play hard, and they're on the ball for loose balls, rebounds. They're diving on the place, and even guys that not always showed up in a definitive stat category, they just seem to be going hard. Are you pleased with that? Is that something is a constant? Like we're pushing. Yeah. Let's get everywhere.
Coming into this year, we're kind of coming in with a chip on our shoulder, right? We look at the preseason stuff, and when you're picked second to last or last, you come with the chip on your shoulder. So we tell our kids, you got to get every loose ball. If there's an opportunity to take a charge, you got to step in and take a charge. Those are momentum changing plays, or game changing plays, and momentum changing plays as well. So I've been happy with our effort. We just got to be a little bit better defensively moving forward.
So you're saying that you do pay attention to what the media says?
I think we all look at it a little bit, right? And for me, I'm a type of person that if I need a little bit of motivation, I'll go and look and see what people are saying, and that'll be my chip that I use.
Again, we're talking to Dan Garrett, the head boys basketball coach at Wausau East High School, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about these young guys. You mentioned some names, and you said Jesse Napgezik has really been, he's been putting up some really impressive numbers.
Really well.
Can you talk about what he is, what allows him to do this at this level so quickly? What does he do well on the court?
Now, first of all, Jesse's a hard worker. He works his butt off in the off season. He's always asking me to get in the gym on days off. So the success he's having now, he's worked towards that, and he deserves it. Jesse's a guy that he can get to the hoop and make plays for others. He's done that really well. I think he had 4 or 5 assists last night. He's a really good shooter. He's got a pull-up game right now. He's not as strong as he needs to be. He's only a sophomore, but as he gets older, he's going to be tough to handle for opponents. So I've been happy with his play so far.
And another key to anybody being successful is to have the ability for multiple guys to be able to put the ball in the hole.
Yeah.
And looking at again the numbers, at least so far, you've had a number of kids who've been able to put up double figures in one game or another. Young man named Garrett, I've seen a couple of times. I think a couple of kids named Kaylee, a guy named Ross Badowski, who has some good bloodlines, I hear. But it looks like you do have the ability to have some balance and have guys that are able to put the ball in the hole when you need it.
Yeah, and I like it that way. I think every coach would love to have a guy who scores 30 a game, because you can go to that guy in a tough situation. But I love having 3 or 4 guys who I know I can go to at any point in time. It doesn't have to be one guy, and the opponent can't just focus on one guy. They have to focus on the team. So we're playing really well together as a team, and we're really sharing the ball too, which is what I enjoy seeing, that extra pass being made and passing up a good shot for a great shot. All those things matter, and we're doing a really good job of that right now.
And I think you got to also enjoy if I'm down at the Y, the bunch of these names, you see these guys. I mean, he's got a handful. You got a handful of gym rats.
They're working.
I mean,
they're working
to be in there, and that's got to be appeasing, I think, to a coach to say, my guys are there. We have practice, and there's still other players. I mean, as long as they're not getting hurt and overdoing it.
I was trying to leave just now, and there's 4 or 5 guys still waiting to shoot, or wanting to shoot. And I'm like, guys, I got to go. So, it's those names. It's the Jesse Napgezik. It's Isaac Rozwadowski. It's Jane Garrett. It's those guys, Charlie Kaylee, that are working extra hard. After a tough game, making sure that the next game that they're ready to go.
And coach, so far young season yet. We're getting to Christmas break. I remember always trying to evaluate. Here's what we wanted in. Are we doing well on this? What do we got to pick up? What do we got to really finalize right after Christmas to, because you can get some extra practices in with the time off. Right now, what you really like about your team, and you know what, we got to hit heavy, one facet of your guys' game that you got to hit heavier as you come off of the Christmas break?
Yeah, what I really like is how we're sharing the ball and the multiple different guys that are scoring and different guys every night. I like that. I like that we're able to put up points and we're able to press people and we're able to get, you know, cause some turnovers there. And it's going to be an ongoing thing for us, but defensively, we got to get better. You know, we're giving up 75 points a game right now, and that's a lot for high school basketball. And that's asking a lot for us on offense, too. You know, if you're giving up 75, you know, that means you got to score, you know, a little bit more. So, we got to get better defensively, and that's something that we focus on, you know, every day. And hopefully at some point we get better.
Along that line, what does your team have to do better on that end? Because as you said, I think there was a game where you scored 75 and you didn't quite get it.
We lost 77.
When you look at what you're trying to accomplish, and you said turnovers, it looks like that's one of the big keys. You want to get the team out of their comfort level and force some turnovers.
Yes.
But generally, what are the guideposts that say you're playing better defense?
I would say if we're holding teams under 50 points, that'd be great. We've only done that one time this year against Green Bay East. And we've played some really good offensive teams here lately. And we're giving up about 70 points a game. So I think what would how that would look is if we are finishing plays, right? They miss a shot. Are we getting the rebound? Or are we giving up three shots? I can look back to the first possession of the Marshfield game yesterday. We made them miss three shots. They got three offensive rebounds. On the fourth rebound, they were able to kick it out and hit a three, right? So, you know, those are things we look back on film and say, guys, you stopped him three times. We got a rebound and finished the play. So on-ball defense has been an issue for us, too. And then, you know, help defense. You know, defense is a team thing. Mm-hmm. And, we're not playing great team defense right now, but the guys want it and they work hard. So we're going to get there at some point.
Well, I was going to lead into how about your conference? You know, everybody's when you coach and you play within that conference, it's always a big mess. I mean, everybody's going after everybody. There's sometimes a little different tiers. There's people that we got to go sneak up and get these guys. It's going to be a hard one. We should have this one. You know, there's all those different facets within your conference, and everybody, as every coach always said, our conference is the best conference because we're in it, and that's true. It holds true
absolutely.
For that moment. So, I don't know. What do you think? What's kind of your shakedown of the conference early on yet? But what do you see so far?
Well, I'm going to be like all the other coaches, and our conference is really good. It's really good. There's no night off. I don't think you can look at anybody and say, you know, I think we're going to win this one. You got to play well every night. And, I think we played the two toughest teams, I think, initially, to as far as records go, to start the conference season. But I think after that, it's there's little toss-up games. You know, when you go play a West, or, you know, it doesn't matter what the records are. When you go play Merrill, like we did last Friday, it doesn't really matter what the records are. And I looked it up. We hadn't won up there since 2015. Mm-hmm. It was time for us to get up there and get a win. So, it doesn't matter who it is in the conference. I think everybody's trying to go after everyone. And even those top teams, I think they understand that, you know, if they don't play well on a night, that one of us could you know, knock them off.
Let me ask you, since you had a chance to see both Everest and Marshfield, and those teams obviously are getting a lot of notice.
Hopefully you're not going where I think you're going.
But I'm not going to ask you to say who's better, okay. but in terms of how good they are, Are those teams, because you've been around the game for quite a while, are those the kind of teams that do have the pieces? Because we would love to see our area make some deep runs in the postseason. And obviously you in Division II don't have to worry about those teams because they're in Division I.
Yep.
Do you feel like those are the kind of teams that have the pieces to be competitive with some of the better teams in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at Marshfield's scores, even in those losses, I mean, they weren't really, you know, getting beat by a ton of points. And Everest took, I think, Oshkosh North, who's like second or third in the state, to overtime, I believe. So they can absolutely compete with those teams. And both of those teams are really good. They shoot the ball really well. They played a close game last week when they played each other. So, two tough teams. And like we talked about off air, you know, Marshfield is, you know, they got about seven or eight guys who all do the same thing really well. And that's tough to beat.
And we will have more with the head boys basketball coach of Wausau East, Dan Garrett, coming up after we take a news update break. The time is 3:28. It is the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll have more on the announced resignation of Dr. Frederick Prane, the Owosso dentist from the Natural Resources Board, coming up in just a few moments. As, again, breaking news this afternoon. But first, we're going to continue with our conversation with the Owosso East High School boys basketball coach, Dan Garrett.
What about your program generally? This is your third season as the head man at East. Obviously, there was a need for some building, to try to build this program up. Generally, how's the foundation? How are the numbers? How do you feel about where the East program is at this point?
I think we're on the rise, you know, and I think a lot of sports at East are on the rise as well. We have four teams, two freshman teams, and so our numbers are doing really well. I think we are we set the foundation of how we want to play the game. We want to play it fast. We want to press, whether it be zone press or man press, and all of our teams are really doing that right now. If you look at the JV teams, they play very similar to how we're playing. So I think the foundation is there. Now we have to start beating a Marshfield, beating a DC Everson, start beating those teams so that we can get that respect.
And when we've been asking coaches that they've been on this season, kind of both just their overall views of scheduling. Because obviously you can see you dive into a tournament in Thanksgiving, you're going somewhere over the Christmas break. Some teams, when I write up my notes, they're dormant till after they get back. And you take a marathon, for example, in the area, they don't play till after Thanksgiving. And it works all different ways. How important is it to have these tournaments and going over to Stratford next week?
I'd rather play games. I think the kids are going to learn more from the game than they are from practice. And, in practice today, it was a good practice, but it was still kind of trying to keep them on track. But in a game, you can't necessarily simulate that. I like playing games. I like playing in Christmas tournaments and the Thanksgiving tournaments. I know some coaches don't like the Thanksgiving tournament because you only have so many practices. Yeah. I say let's roll the ball out there and see what we got. And then, we're kind of ahead of the game too. So I enjoy playing over Christmas and getting that opportunity to practice during those times too.
Along the same lines, something we've asked a couple of coaches over the start of this season, because last season we saw the computer rankings and there were some questionable slotting of it. Does that affect how you schedule? How do you look at that in terms of the seeding process? And maybe after a year of having it with the computer, how do you like it? Would you like to see coaches have a little more say? What's your overall feelings about that?
Well, I don't know if it affected my scheduling this year. I mean, I think we were going to play who we're going to play no matter what. Mm-hmm. There was some strange seedings that came out. Not necessarily for us. I think we were seated where we were supposed to be, but there were some strange seedings. But, I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I mean, I like the seeding meeting, but then in those two, for Merrill and us, we're going to play, we're going to go in a seeding meeting with one conference, and, they're going to take care of each other. So, the way it's done now kind of takes that out of it, but at the same time, I think maybe it should be a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not the boss of that. So.
Well, lastly, I do it with my sixth grade son right now. I think coaches' kids, they have a hard time. When your dad's a coach, there's expectations set. There can be some coaches will cut it off, say we're not talking about the other dinner table, but the other coaches are like, we're bringing it up. And you got to give those coaches' kids props for the toughness they, I think, develop having. Having their father on the sidelines. I mean, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of coaches also like when you're on that deathbed at the end of the life, that's a cool thing. That's a trophy that you don't. I mean, you see it. It's a live, living trophy that hey, I got to coach my kid. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. So, how's it been being able to work with your? Give him some props. I mean, give him some props. That's just the way it is.
I think Jaden's done a really good job handling me as the season's gone on. He does a good job of just saying yes and moving on. No matter what I'm screaming at him about. And I try to, when we're in school, I'm coach. And then when we get in the car to go home, I'm dad. And I talk to him as dad, as father would talk to him. So we're not talking about it at the dinner table unless he brings it up. But I will respond to him as his dad, not as his coach. I think he's done a really good job.
You guys slow down. I got to write some notes down. I'm not that good.
He's done a really good job with it, and I'm very proud of him. And he's had a good start to the season, too.
And I guess finally, this is, over the years, I've noticed it's more difficult for schools to keep coaches and the need for coaches to have a real bond with their schools, that they're going to be there, build a program. And I'm going to ask you, because you came to East from Newman.
Yep.
And you had a very young, and you knew a very talented crew over there that you see right now that are in the state rankings.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to be at Wausau East because you have, you've been there. You've had a, you have a, I think, a real connection with East.
Yeah.
And East needs, I think, stability within their athletic program.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the importance of being the coach at Wausau East? Because you gave up something. You gave up, I think, a chance to maybe win a state championship with some of those very talented players over at Newman. But there is obviously a real connection with Wausau East that's important to you, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, East gave me my first chance here in this area as a coach. So I always felt loyalty to them. And the job actually opened up twice while I was at Newman. And I didn't apply the first time. And the second time I thought, you know, I got to go for it and see what happens. I live on the east side. You know, I go grocery shopping on the east side. I think it's cool to have that community. You know, when you go in the store and people know you won a game and they say, hey, you know, nice game. You know, I love that. I love that part of being a coach, and I love that part of being a part of Wausau East as well. And I've helped coach some other sports and gotten to deal with all the kids and different administrators and those types of things. So, you know, I'm going to be at East until they tell me they don't want me anymore. But I'm enjoying my time there, and I think, like you said, the stability is important, and building those relationships with the kids is important. And, you know, I go to third and fourth grade games and making sure I'm supporting them so they know who I am and those types of things. So, stability is important as for a high school coach, and you know, for me, I'm not looking for the next best thing. I'm doing it at the place I want to do it.
Actually, real quickly before we wrap it up, I was talking to Deb Foster, who of course is the principal over at East, and she said how much she appreciated what you did during football. That you were not a football guy, but you still were able to go over there, help out because you know about coaching, about you know, setting things up and making sure things get done. What was that experience like? Because you had not had the football experience, but you were part of what they're trying to rebuild over at the east side with football.
Well, I embarrassed myself a little bit. 5 minutes into that first practice, I broke my pinky trying to catch a football. But yeah, I mean, they needed help, and I said I would help, and I said I didn't want to be the head coach, but I'll certainly, you know, step in and help wherever you guys need. And it was really fun. Honestly, I've never coached football before at the high school level, and it was really fun. The kids were great. A lot of the kids play football or basketball, so it was good to see kids in other sports and how they act in other sports and kind of get a different view of how they are in different sports. So I enjoyed it, and you know, if they'll have me back again next year, I'll do it again next year, but it was fun.
Very good. Anything else, Jeff?
Well, just lastly, you're, you know, you come off the conference win against Merrill, then, you know, you said, we struggled on some things against Marshall, but very good basketball team. And then, you know, I always, if I remember correctly again, because Chad says my memory's going, but if I remember correctly again, you want to get into the next game, and which would be Lakeland tomorrow, but unfortunately, the weather's going to be what the weather's going to be. Going forward, what do you think is, what's your message to the guy? And with the pace, you know, because you went from one thing at Merrill to one thing at Marshfield, probably, and now you want to get back. What's going to be your kind of message if you have a couple? You have a couple practices yet before Christmas? Will you get a couple more practices?
Well, we're going to give them time off, right? Okay. So there's no school tomorrow, and there's no games tomorrow. So we're going to give them Thursday and Friday off, obviously Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll get back to it on Monday and kind of get going there and kind of have a normal week of practice. But you know. We would have been ready to play tomorrow. We were ready to go, but I think time off helps too, and I think they'll need some. They'll get 5 days off here, and then we'll get back going and play a really good banger team in a few days.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Head Coach Dan Garrett of the Wausau East Lumberjacks, and that was our conversation Wednesday night. And if you enjoy hearing from area coaches and area student athletes, I encourage you to join Jeff Grass and myself each Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Got to get back to breaking news late this afternoon. And you talk about a Friday afternoon news dump when you try to just dump things late on a Friday and especially on a holiday weekend. Well, fortunately, I'm on the air so I can talk about this. Fred Prane talked about him in the first hour, and I said, please, Fred, resign. It's been nearly 2 years. Well, he's done it. According to the Associated Press, a member of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Policy Board appointed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker, who refused to step down even after his term ended nearly 2 years ago, said today he was resigning.
Fred Prain, who won a lawsuit seeking to oust him from the Natural Resources Board after his term ended in May of 2021, informed Governor Tony Evers of his intent to resign in a letter obtained by the Associated Press. Prain said his resignation will take effect December the 30th. In the letter, Prain said, quote, "It is time for the state legislators to act on Governor Evers' nomination as soon as practical, and it is now time for me to move on," end quote. I'm not going to give these guys credit for doing this now. I'm talking about what Prain is doing. I'm talking about what the leaders of the state assembly and the state senate are doing by actually talking to the governor, because all this shows is they did not take the first election of Tony Evers as legitimate, even though he won. He defeated Walker. 4 years go by, Tony Evers wins again, and now it's like, I guess we have to accept that Tony Evers is the governor. That's not how this system works. That is not how the system works. Prain, a Wausau dentist, was appointed by Walker in 2015. He refused to step down after his term ended, denying Evers' appointee Sandra Nass a seat and maintaining a 4-3 majority for Republican appointees. The Republican-controlled Senate refused to confirm Nass, and Prain argued he didn't have to leave his seat until his replacement was confirmed. Democratic Attorney General Josh Call sued, seeking to force Prain off the board, but the conservative-controlled Supreme Court ruled in June that political appointees don't have to leave their posts until the Senate confirms their successor, which, again, was a garbage decision by the state Supreme Court. The idea that these appointees can sit on the board and then tell the Senate not to do anything with the new appointees, that is not, again, the way the system works. That's why, again, the Supreme Court election coming up in April is vital, because decisions like this are not the way that we need to do things. But again, I said it earlier that one of the stories of 2022 that would continue into 2023 would be whether or not Frederick Prain would continue to sit on the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Policy Board. I said, yep, it would. I was wrong. I can admit I'm wrong. But Fred Prain here late on a Friday, going into the Christmas break, going into the Christmas weekend, Friday afternoon news dump. But Fred Prain is leaving. He will be resigning effective next week, Friday, December the 30th. Finally. It's about time. Yeah, it's time for state legislators to act on Governor Evers' nomination as soon as practical. It was practical a year and a half ago, Fred. We got to take another break. We're going to come back. One more segment to go before heading on out for the Christmas weekend. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. On Tuesday night, it's a crosstown battle in high school girls basketball as the Newman Catholic Cardinals play host to the Wausau East Lumberjacks. Hear all the exciting action on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 p.m. and the opening tip-off is set for 7:15. Newman Catholic High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic playing host to Wausau East in high school girls basketball. Tuesday night, starting with the pregame show at 7 p.m. and the opening tip at 7:15. On your home for Newman Catholic High School sports, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Segment before wrapping it up for this Friday and then heading towards the Christmas weekend. 3:52. It does not look like, at least from this point of view, we're going to get to zero in terms of the temperature. 3 degrees below zero at last report here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Again, dangerous wind chills out there if you're doing any traveling this evening. Today is the 23rd of December, day number 357 of 2022. Only 8 days left in the year. Hard to believe. And I hate when people say, hard to believe. But it is hard to believe. We are just about 9 days away from 2023. Taking a look at some famous events in history. 1783, George Washington resigned as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, retired to his home at Mount Vernon, Virginia. On this date in 1788, Maryland passed an act to cede an area not exceeding 10 miles square for the seat of the national government. About two-thirds of the area became the District of Columbia. On this date in 1823, the poem Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas was published in the Troy, New York Sentinel. The verse, more popularly known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, was later attributed to Clement C. Moore. In 1913, on this date, the Federal Reserve System was created as President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. In 1941, during World War II, American forces on Wake Island surrendered to the Japanese. On this date in 1948, former Japanese Premier Hideki Tojo and six other Japanese war leaders were executed in Tokyo. In 1954, on December 23rd, the first successful human kidney transplant took place at the Peter Bent Brigham Hospital in Boston as a surgical team removed a kidney from 23-year-old Ronald Herrick and implanted it in Herrick's twin brother, Richard. In 1968, on this date, 82 crew members of the USS intelligence ship Pueblo were released by North Korea 11 months after they had been captured. On this date in 1972, a 6.2 magnitude earthquake struck Nicaragua. The disaster claimed some 5,000 lives. As a result as well of that earthquake, the baseball legend Roberto Clemente, he got on a plane to head to Nicaragua to help with the efforts. And unfortunately, during his recovery efforts a couple of days later, Roberto Clemente was killed. On this date in 1987, great movie. I remember seeing it back 35 years ago. Good Morning Vietnam, starring Robin Williams. It was released in limited theaters. On this date in 1997, a federal jury in Denver convicted Terry Nichols of involuntary manslaughter and conspiracy for his role in the Oklahoma City bombing, declining to find him guilty of murder. Nichols was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And 1 year ago, Kim Potter, a white suburban Minneapolis police officer who said she confused her handgun for her taser, was convicted of manslaughter in the death of a young black man, Dante White, during a traffic stop. Potter would be sentenced to 2 years in prison. That's a look at some of the famous events. Looking at some of the birthdays being celebrated by famous people. Actor Ronnie Schell. He was the star of a great series that only lasted a year back in the 1960s, but it was based in a radio station, so I like it. It was titled Good Morning World. It was from the guys who brought us the Dick Van Dyke Show. Was not as successful, but again, seeing a TV series based in a radio station, and Ronnie Schell was one of the two stars of that series. He also was a co-star with Jim Nabors on Gomer Pyle, USMC. Ronnie Schell turning 91 years old today. Former Emperor Akihito of Japan is 89. Also, actor-comedian Harry Shearer turned 79 years old. U.S. Army General Wesley Clark, 78 years old today. Actor Joan Severance turning 64 years old today. Singer Terry Weeks of The Temptations is 59. Rock singer Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam turns 58. The former First Lady of France, Carla Bruni Sarkozy, is 55 years old today. Actor Estella Warren is 44 years old. Actor Spencer Daniels is 30, and actor Caleb Foote turns 29. Also, if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this Friday. Have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy Christmas. We'll have a best of on Monday. I'll be back with a new show coming up on Tuesday of next week. Again, have a great weekend. Keep it right here. CBS News coming up, followed by the Devil's Advocates here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.